Let's face it, everything she does is controversial in some quarters. This isn't necessarily what we were led to expect when they first left the royal family. There was a lot of talk about philanthropy, all kinds of topics that were quite serious, and that has quietly disappeared. And
in its place,
we have this new product range.
She had about five big cases, a couple of them just packed with presents for the children at the orphanage we were going to visit, the Tikva Jewish orphanage in Romania. She was just so passionate about it. It meant so much to her.
Hi, everyone. We're back for another episode of A Right Royal Podcast with me, Andrea.
And me, Emmy.
Today, we're having a royal catch-up about the latest news from Montecito. We're talking about Prince Louis's cute sixth birthday portrait and sharing a few royal exclusives, including some one-on-one time with Sarah, Duchess of York, and Nacho Figueras.
Sorry, who?
Emmy. Harry's BFF.
Okay.
They joined forces a few weeks ago at the annual Centre Barlow polo match, and we'll be hearing all about it from Alex Hurtado, our colleague who went to Florida for the event and had the best day ever.
Also with us today is Royal Editor of the Daily Telegraph, Hannah Finesse. But first, let's welcome the jam to our Victoria Sponge, Emily Nash.
Hello.
Hello, Royal Editor.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, in our interviews, we're going to discuss a lot of what's happening. So I think we should go straight to it and talk about the biggest news of today.
It's Prince Louis's birthday.
Yay!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
And it's been a bit of a squeaky bum time here, isn't it, in the studio this morning? Because we didn't get an image of Louis overnight, as normally is the case with the Wales children. But we have just seen a portrait taken by the Princess of Wales herself, unedited.
Yes.
It's very clear to see that it's unedited. He's got a very sweet little kind of a scratch, or possibly a piece of jam.
Possibly.
Maybe.
On his chin.
They do seem to be having a picnic. There is a bit of a blanket situation going on. He's barefoot.
He's lying on a blanket in the garden. He's wearing a shirt that looks very much like one that belonged to his big brother, Prince George. And he looks adorable.
Barefoot,
unsurprisingly.
Shorts.
He's got little shorts on. I wonder what part of the country he's in that's warm.
Windsor.
Well,
no, like,
they are a knees-out family under the age of about 10, to be fair.
Now, for listeners that are not living in the UK, it has been
It's 7 degrees today.
It's a joke. I've had enough. I've had enough.
Genuinely so cold. The last week, max, we've had 10 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, it's
so
been chilly.
But they still clearly love their time outdoors, because we know this photo was taken in the last week at their Windsor home. It has been cold, guys. There hasn't been sun.
So it's good to see. He's very hardy. And it's something that we weren't sure whether we were going to get this year. And I think it goes without saying that people would totally have understood, I think, this year had William and Kate decided not to put out a photo. They've got other concerns going on right now. Obviously, Kate's in the middle of her cancer treatment. She has started this tradition over the years, which we'll talk about in a little while with Hannah, and I'm sure she wanted to honour that. But my understanding is that they wanted to put something out in response to all the well wishes, really, and to the happy birthday wishes aimed at Louis. And it was not a given that they would do this, because, you know, they have asked for privacy. They've been flying completely under the radar. We saw William in action last week. We'll see him again this week. But otherwise, you know, they've kept a very, very low profile. We have Princess Charlotte's birthday, of course, coming up on May the 2nd. So I'm imagining that we'll see a sort of similar approach to this.
Yes.
And really, there's no change in policy. There's nothing sinister going on here. There are a couple of big considerations. One is Kate's health and the fact that they have taken this decision to not to be visible at the moment. And of course, the other is the crazy argument over her Mother's Day image, which, you know, was photoshopped not brilliantly, and Kate later apologised for. And they've made it very clear, I think, by putting this photo out, that there can be no room for any criticism here. It's just a beautiful, natural photo of their youngest son, looking very sweet. And
great use of light, Kate. Absolutely love this photo. Well done.
It is.
It's actually a really good photo.
It's a lovely shot. And, you know, it's also a smart move, because I think had they not put something out, there would have been more questions asked and concerns about the general situation.
Now, there is a big other milestone coming up for the Waleses, and it's their wedding anniversary. Do you think we'll get anything from them, or just it's not really a milestone anniversary?
My gut feeling is that we won't, because A, it's not a big 13 years, you know, it's not a significant anniversary. And also they've got a lot going on. You know, they don't make it an annual thing. Mm-hmm. They did put pictures out to mark their 10th anniversary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's not really something I'd expect them to do.
But you think we will get one of Charlotte just around the
Definitely.
Corner?
I think that now we've seen Louis, it would be a surprise if we didn't also see Charlotte. So something to look forward to.
How old is she going to be?
Charlotte is going to be 9.
Oh.
So they are growing up so quickly.
I love that this photo not only gives us a little update about Prince Louis, but about Kate, that she's still, you know, taking sweet family pictures. So very happy to have seen this picture, I have to say. Now we have a packed episode and I think we should move on to our first guest.
Yes, shall we welcome my very good friend Hannah Furness, who's Royal Editor of the Daily Telegraph, and I'm really excited to have her with us today.
Welcome, Hannah.
Welcome, Hannah.
Hannah Furness, it's an absolute delight to have you on a Right Royal podcast. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This is very exciting. I was just saying to the girls, I think this is the most redheads we've had in the podcast studio in one go.
Big day. Yeah.
Someone sent an invitation to Prince Harry.
I know.
We're just missing Prince Harry. That's the only problem.
Yeah, and Fergie. More of which later. We're really thrilled to have you here because there have been a lot of interesting developments on the Royal Beat. Fairly low-key, all things considered, because as we know, there are a lot of serious health things going on at the moment. But you have written extensively about Harry and Meghan. You followed their story from the start. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what's been coming from Montecito, because we've had quite a few developments, haven't we?
Yes, after a long period of not too much, things have started gearing up again. It feels a bit like business as usual. We've had a few updates, mostly jam-based, which
we're very excited about. What's this? Jam?
Where have you been,
Emmy?
Oh
my God, where have you been?
I've
unpacking from Japan still.
I've been on a honeymoon and I haven't caught up. I'm still catching up.
Meghan's jam. The world is talking about Meghan's jam. American Riviera Orchard have launched, sort of, soft launch, sent out about 50, it is exactly 50, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pots of jam to Meghan's nearest and dearest and influencers.
Who's on the list?
Well, not us, it seems.
Not us.
I'm upset.
But we've seen some of her friends have taken actually to Instagram to share some lovely pictures. A nice little basket with lemons and fresh flowers.
And a bowl, which is the same in all of them. So it's presumably part of this range that has trademarked absolutely everything under the sun, hasn't it? From nut butters to tea towels and cutlery.
Are we officially calling it Arrow or is just that the fans calling it Arrow?
I thought it was A-R-O.
Oh my God, okay. That's a debate.
But I'll bow to your greater knowledge.
No. I'm really not good at that. So let's find out if it's... I feel like Arrow is better, though, than A-R-O.
A-R-O. They've got a lot of acronyms going on at the minute, haven't they? Also, the Office of the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, which comes out as odds.
Let's not forget they call each other H&M as well.
This is true.
Yes.
But this is quite a departure. And there was a lot of talk about this, wasn't there, over the past year or so, really, that she was going to launch this sort of lifestyle brand.
Yes. And look, let's face it, everything she does is controversial in some quarters. This isn't necessarily what we were led to expect when they first left the royal family. There was a lot of talk about philanthropy. They did all these events not long after they left the UK, Black Lives Matter, gender equity, voting in America, all kinds of topics that were quite serious and quite philanthropic. And that has spun out and sort of quietly disappeared. And in its place, we have this new product range, which will be coming out in the next month or so, do we think?
Very soon.
They're gearing up, aren't they? So it's exciting. Look, the Royal Beat has become quite difficult this year and quite challenging for reasons I'm sure we'll go on to talk about. It's been quite sad, actually, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So this is quite a nice boost, I think, really, for people like us.
It's given us something to talk about.
It gives us something to talk about. It adds to the gaiety of the nation. We can all review Meghan's jam. You can say what you like about it. Everybody's going to be signing up to buy this stuff.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
to try it out, at
I'm
least.
I'm scared that I'm just going to be a loyal customer.
You're going to become a jam addict.
Well, not jam, but
could
I feel like, you know, it just really suits her. And I know, you know, a lot of people have shared their different opinions, but I feel like it does suit Meghan. And whatever Meghan wears and whatever Meghan buys sells out. And what better way than just doing your own
And
company.
It's what she knows best, exactly. Isn't it? If you go back to the TIG, this is what she was doing long before she met Harry.
True, yeah.
And sort of curating this idyllic lifestyle, which, let's face it, we all could buy into quite... I mean, I, for one, would quite happily be sitting in a garden in Montecito. No offence to you lot.
No offence taken. We'll be visiting.
Oh my God, yeah, podcast from Montecito.
You could see why people want to buy into this. But one thing that strikes me as really interesting is that there's been this reported uptick in sales for the King's Own jams. And he has obviously been behind the Dutchie Originals range. That's going back several decades now.
Emily, the jam?
Emily's just baffled by all this jam talk.
She's like, I thought this was a royal podcast.
What's
why are you talking
happening?
About condiments? I know.
Hang on, no. So now there's like a sales battle for the royal jams.
Well, there has reportedly been a sellout, hasn't there? I think it's
the organic
one
sold out.
Yeah, exactly.
I love this.
So actually, in many ways, what she's doing is not very different to what established and working members of the royal family are doing, albeit, I think there is a difference. Can you explain the difference?
Yeah, I think that is what they would argue, and that's what we've read quite a few times of sources close to the Duchess of Sussex are saying, hey, the king himself has done this stuff. It's been decades that he's been using the Dutchie Originals. And if you go to any palace now, you'll go to the gift shop and there's a huge range of stuff. You've got Buckingham Palace gin and you've got corgi Christmas decorations and things. And it is difficult to understand how it's any different. There are some differences, aren't there? It's raising money for charity. The Dutchie Originals, when it started, was this really innovative project using the surplus of products from Highgrove. So it was the then Prince Charles trying to prove that organic farming worked. So it was all very on brand and the money goes towards their charity. The money with the Duchess of Sussex isn't going towards charity. They've got an expensive life to lead and they need to pay their bills like the rest of us. That said, it's not the same thing, but it's also completely harmless, isn't it? What else should they be doing?
No, exactly. And like you say, I mean, I think you wrote about this brilliantly in the newsletter at the Telegraph last week, that better make jam than cause trouble. I think you put it much more eloquently. You put it much more eloquently than I do. But, you know, I think that there was a need to move on, wasn't there? Because there had been a lot of looking back and raking over old coals and controversy. And this does really mark quite a departure now
from
that. Yes,
doing something productive, doing something positive, as you say, moving on. The best case scenario, as far as I can see, for the royal family and the Sussexes after years of, I would say back and forth, but it's not really. It's sort of hand grenade launch from Montecito towards the royal family. Is for everybody to be happy and everybody to move on. And if they can fund their lifestyles, if they can do, as you say, this is what Meghan's been doing for years. And I would imagine has been a real project for her going all the way back from the TIG. She's now launching it on this elevated platform that has eyeballs all over the world on it. If they're happy and feel secure, all of this negativity should evaporate.
So it does sound to me as like a very inoffensive project. It's, you know, everyone likes jam. What has
It's not just jam, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
And we can get into this in a moment.
She's made it from her own strawberries, from her own garden.
Okay, so that sounds nice.
Do you think she made it herself?
Yeah.
Do you think?
I think she did.
Ooh, interesting.
I totally see her.
You're fully signed up.
Yeah, I totally imagine her picking up the eggs in the morning, which I particularly love doing. My mother-in-law used to have chickens, absolutely love doing that. I could just imagine her. I think she enjoys that.
This is the point of the project, isn't it? It's about their lifestyle, their happy, peaceful lifestyle in Montecito, where they can go to Archie's Chicken Coop in the morning, as you say, pick up some eggs. She's doing a tie-in cookery show or lifestyle show, which I don't believe is filmed at their actual house, but will be set up to look in some way as if it's representative of their real lifestyle. You can imagine, can't you? Who knows whether the children will be involved, but you can imagine somebody going out to snip some herbs in the garden, come back and cook. This is all showing them their real lives, and that's what makes it different, isn't it, from other products?
My question here is, why has there been any controversy then? Because, like, you know, talking about it now with you guys, it sounds, and obviously I didn't know about this project, it sounds very wholesome, very nice. Like, what's the
argument? Gonna hate.
Yeah, exactly. Because whatever they do, people are going to talk.
Right.
There's a couple of elements of it. There's the label on the jam uses this crest, doesn't it? The Duchess of Sussex, which does look very like the real royal emblems. So there is a question from critics of, is this cashing in on their royal link still? How close is this to the royal family? Mm. And the other thing And I don't necessarily think that this is a useful or right argument, but I think part of people's instinct to criticise is that, as we were talking about earlier, they left on this very passionate, philanthropic, we're going to change the world, we're going to do represent all of these causes. Yeah. And I think perhaps people felt at a time almost lectured by the Sussexes on lots of different topics, the evils of the Commonwealth, all sorts of things they were talking about. And for now, to it all really boil down to,
I feel like the pandemic did happen though afterwards, didn't it?
Of
and
course,
I think the pandemic
so
shifted
reasons.
Everything for everyone. So maybe that also has...
Well, also the reality of having two small children.
Yeah, true.
As you well know.
A huge security bill to pay.
Yeah.
There's nothing stopping them doing both things as they move forward. This is just the phase they're in at the moment of their launching this new product. But yeah, they're always going to have criticism.
But if you think about it, Meghan has always, since we've known her, I remember the post on Instagram, her makeup artist friend, Daniel.
Martin,
her making avocado and toast for him.
Her all know how that ended in certain websites. Yeah.
Her baking that, it was a lemon cake in one of the tours?
Banana bread, sorry.
Like,
and then banana bread and Dubbo.
Do you remember that? I was on that engagement when she just popped up with banana bread. It was so
and
exciting.
I remember you messaging.
Did you try it?
Messaging the reporters and telling us, and we were like, wow, this is really exciting.
It felt really new. And like a nice touch, that was just at the height of their popularity.
Yeah.
And I remember we were all just like, oh, what a good idea, turning up to this drought.
It showed a bit of humility
and
it was relatable, although I haven't given anyone a banana bread for a very long time. yeah, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because she has had this brilliant touch with things. You know, whatever you think of Meghan, and I go back to, and again, I think it's a job that you covered, the cookbook. It was a sort of perfectly executed product, wasn't it? It was sort of presented so brilliantly as a kind of done deal. It wasn't a, oh, I'm setting out to do this and this will be what happens within, you know, a year's time. It was just done. And I do think she does have a very good sort of knack for picking up on those things.
I think that's right. And that felt authentic. And I suppose that's going to be the challenge of this, is how authentic does it feel to people? And how receptive are people now in the real world in a cost of living crisis?
Yes.
All the challenges that any business faces of the launch on social media was her in a ball gown. It's how are they going to pitch this? Is it very elevated, aimed at Californian celebrities?
Oh,
is it
I hope I can afford it.
The mass market?
I tell you what, as well, going back to what you were saying about the ball gown, and the other image we had of her was her with a pinny on doing some cooking. I mean, I don't want to say it, but some people are saying this is kind of a trad wife approach.
Oh, my God.
Do you think she's going for that?
Wait, what is trad
market?
Wife? Because I'm not in TikTok and I feel like that's a TikTok term.
Traditional.
But like an extreme. Yeah,
like,
where they like do everything homemade every day, like the breads and all the breakfast and all that.
Yeah.
No,
but then they get a lot
that.
Of flack for being millionaires, and it's like, oh, sure, you're making your own dough, but, you know, in your massive kitchen.
But what we know, Meghan feels really strongly about gender equity. So that would be a departure if that, but I guess that's not really what she's going for. But
I think it is an interesting point. She's done a lot of events and spoken very powerfully about gender equity and the role of women. We know she identifies very strongly as a mother. That's very important to her sort of self-description. And yes, this is not quite that, is it? This is homemaking at its heart.
I think we'd all like to see Harry also helping out, at least doing a washing.
I think we can be sure of seeing Harry.
The kids, I hope.
I guess as well, though, the fact that she's doing this kind of show, women can do whatever they want, and this is just another,
100%,
you know, another part of that.
Well, like, we know she loves to roast a chicken. So.
We know they love cooking waffles in the morning.
Oh, yeah, organic waffles.
Yes.
Go, right.
So we know a lot, actually.
But,
yeah, I'm hungry. Is anyone else hungry?
God, yes.
Yeah, I'm getting absolutely starving having this conversation. But it does seem like they've burned through a lot of projects to try and find who they are since leaving the royal family. And like, do you think this one is going to stick?
I think that's a really good way of putting it. They've started down quite a few different paths, haven't they? And they've started again on a lot of things. And a lot of that has been down to the pandemic, like you say. And just circumstances outside of their control. A lot of their projects have been terribly timed with the illness and the death of the late Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, the Queen's illness, the book, the Netflix series, everything is tied in with these really terrible moments for the royal family. And again, and so has this, you know, this is coming at a time when the King and the Princess of Wales were both having treatment for cancer. So there's been quite a lot of bad luck, I would say, in what they've been trying to do. As I said before, I think the key to this is authenticity. If they can do it in a way that feels authentic and can connect with people outside of this very tiny, wealthy pocket of people, I think it will work. What I don't know, because I don't have this kind of business experience, is how on earth do you translate a tiny batch of 50 jams to something that's going to fund your lifestyle?
That's true. I mean, unless they're exceptionally expensive jars of jam, but, you know.
This is Waitrose jam.
How is
jam.
This going to roll out?
This is not just any jam.
Yeah. I want to ask about the launch, though, because the launch of the new website and then the launch of Megan's lifestyle brand, it all seemed to me a bit rushed. Do we think that it was always planned to be announced when it was, or because of what was happening with the royal family, maybe they brought it forward? Or maybe it's just me overthinking it, because I do overthink a lot.
Well, look, I think you have to assume that also, you know, they're not in lockstep with the palace at all, so they wouldn't necessarily know what's been announced at the palace and what's coming when. In fact, probably far from it. And so I don't think you can read too much into timings on things like that. You know, they have to have their own schedule. And like as Hannah says, it's been really unfortunate that some of it's coincided with these big and upsetting items of news from the royal family.
It has been pushed back quite a few times, I think. I think we expected this. There was this Meghan's project in the ether, wasn't there? In Omid Scobie's book, he mentions this mysterious project with a lot of buzzwords that I can't remember off the top of my head. And it's been threaded through the last couple of years, maybe, that this big thing is coming. I think we maybe have to resist the temptation to think that anything to do with the royal family or particularly the Sussexes has this master plan.
Yeah.
They're subject to the same ebbs and flows as the rest of us.
There have been some changes announced overnight, actually, as we speak. They've taken on a couple of new communications people.
Yeah.
And interestingly, they have a UK-based one for the first time since they left the UK. And he is a brand manager. And I think that's really interesting, because that's tying into the notion of this brand being a big part of their ID now.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Part of this is a pragmatic decision, isn't it? Their PR at the moment has been based out in America. There's one in New York and one in LA. And some of this is just a very practical time zone issue of it's very difficult if you're getting a lot of calls from a lot of different newspapers, broadcasters in the UK to work on LA time.
Mm-hmm.
So part of this is a practical decision that they just need somebody in the UK to be answering those calls and answering those questions. It does suggest that there is more to come on this side of the pond, doesn't it? And really interestingly, at one point when they left the royal family, there really was a message that Britain is dead to us, media-wise. They were never going to speak to the tabloids again. There was this real message that we're no longer really dealing with the British press. Now, you and I are in the fortunate position that we have always had an open door, and we have managed to keep that relationship going, which has been very useful. But this does suggest that they're open to a bit more of that, doesn't it?
I think so. I think you're right. And I think they've moved away and they sort of the water under the bridge somewhat, because, you know, they were certainly very keen at the last Invictus Games to have more coverage and open themselves up more to other outlets than they had done in the preceding couple of years. And I think that's probably going to be the plan going forward.
And they have logistical considerations over here. In the case of Prince Harry, at least, we think he'll be back for this Invictus Games service in a few weeks' time. There is quite heavy narrative that Meghan and the children won't be coming back until they can resolve this security issue to their liking, but he will certainly be coming and going, and you need somebody in the UK who can navigate those logistical things with a palace which understandably may not be that open now to very open dialogue across the Atlantic when the level of trust between the two offices and the two families is maybe not at its strongest.
Yeah.
It will help to build that relationship if they've got somebody here who can liaise with the Royal Diary, for example.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see, obviously, with Harry expected in the UK, if there is any visit with his father. You'd like to think that they'll see each other.
Yeah, you'd imagine so, wouldn't you? I think the King is very family-minded in that sense. I really can't see a world where he wouldn't see his son.
Yeah.
Whether it would be a long visit where they sit down and have a heart-to-heart about everything that's happened over the last few years, perhaps this isn't the moment for it. He's got some very real other concerns going on in his life. But it's very hard to imagine they wouldn't see each other at all if they wanted to and if they had time.
Do you think he'll be bringing him one of the batch of 50?
Should do.
Oh my God, totally. I believe it.
Well, critically, you know, the royal warrants haven't been done for this reign yet, Emily.
This is a very, very good point. Yeah.
To get the ultimate stamp of approval.
I mean, that would be quite a move, wouldn't it?
That would be very, very magnanimous. And yeah. I did read up on it, wondering whether it would happen, and you don't have to be UK-based to get a royal warrant.
Fascinating.
I think it's probably a stretch.
To your point earlier, though, Emmy, about why any fuss, because as you say, it all seems quite wholesome. Really speaking, if you look at other non-working royals over the years, there have been lots of similar things, haven't they? We had Fergie with her books, with her teas.
She was on QVC selling food blenders at one point, wasn't
exactly.
she?
Exactly.
I suppose the point is, this isn't the aesthetic that Harry and Meghan were going for.
Yeah.
No, that's
it?
A very good point.
It's not that it's not possible. It's, is it desirable? Does it add anything to their reputation and their brand? Is this what they wanted to do, really? That isn't.
Yeah, it's not clear, is it? I think it'd be really interesting to see. And obviously, Harry has Invictus, this fantastic initiative, which I've said on here before, I think is one of the best things he's ever done. And they do have their other charity interests, but that we're hearing less about that now. So it'll be interesting to see if their new UK comms person will be liaising more with the UK charities that they have connections with, whether we might see them out on engagements. We know Harry's very committed to Well Child, for example. That's something he's continued to do since leaving the UK. Do you think that they do need to sort of keep that up?
I think
tandem?
It's a difficult line to tread, isn't it? If the first thing you think of when you think of the Duke and Duchess of Sussex becomes jam, say that again, that's difficult. And it also, it cheapens everything else you're trying to do, isn't it? If you're becoming this outlet for marketing and promotion and sell, mm-hmm. it makes it more difficult to authentically stand on a platform and argue your case for whichever cause you want to support. Mm-hmm. You're right, Invictus Games. I mean, if Harry does nothing else in his lifetime, Invictus Games is enough legacy for anyone, isn't mm-hmm. it?
It's a fantastic achievement.
And his patronages over here are really loyal to him, and the feeling is mutual. He comes to Well Child every year, Scotty's Little Soldiers. There's still a lot of good he can do in the UK, and they can do in the UK.
Yeah.
But there are things they need to overcome in order for that to happen. One of them is the security issue.
Yeah.
It's difficult. You can do things on Zoom, but it's not the same, is it?
No. And we do need to say that the legal issues that are ongoing, the legal battles that he is fighting, I think probably have meant that other things have been somewhat put on hold, because obviously they're necessarily taking up a lot of their time and attention.
Absolutely. And the security issue in particular has become really dominant, and almost every question about what they're doing in the future is being dictated by the security issue, which is resolved realistically, isn't it? There's more legal stuff to come, but realistically, I don't think it's going to change.
Mm.
So they're at a point now where they need to make a decision, really, of is this something we can live with? Which probably it is, mm-hmm. like as we know from the case, as it always has been, when he comes to the UK on anything remotely being an official engagement, he's going to get security.
Yeah.
But having made such a huge thing of it in the court case and made such strong arguments in favour of that situation changing, it is going to be a moment, isn't it, if Prince Harry can resolve that
yeah.
internally and bring his wife and children over again.
I want to go back to the jam.
Oh my God.
No, just one more.
I have a really shallow question about the jam.
Wait, me. No, I think that we're just saying jam. But I really think that Meghan really thought what product she was going to send out first. And I think she really thought jam was the best because it's made with love. It comes from the heart. It comes from her own garden. Like, I think there's more to it than just saying jam. I think like she was very clever with the product that she was getting out there first. And it's just not the fact that it's just a spread and blah, blah, blah. It's just that it's made.
God's
no,
sake.
I think it's made.
It's not just a spread.
I'm sure the listeners understand where I'm going. I think it's made with love. She's really thought about it. She's done it herself. And that's what she wants to.
It's personal.
Yeah, it's personal. And that's what the idea that she wants to give of her new lifestyle brand. You know, it's not just going to be selling things.
It feels like it's not mass produced
yes.
as well. It's
and
kind of,
she's going to handpick everything. She's going to choose everything. She's probably going to design things. It's going to be very, very personal. And that's what I'm getting from jam.
All right, two questions
okay.
now.
Oh, two questions
now. Yeah, no, your statement has produced another one. Okay, yeah, so it's not mass produced right now, but if it's going to be launched as a product, surely it must be at some point.
Well, she's not saying she's going to sell jam. It's never been confirmed.
What do you mean she's not going to sell the jam?
Maybe she will once a year when strawberries are... I don't know how strawberries are.
What do you mean? Then how is this a business?
No, because it's not just jam. It's going to be plates. It's going to be cutlery. It's going to be vases.
I thought she was saying like...
It's a lifestyle brand. There's going to be lots of stuff.
Okay.
There are a lot of questions about it.
My other question was which celebrities have been enjoying the jam?
So Nacho Figueras' wife, Delfina. There's Tracy Robbins. There's Mindy Kaling.
Okay.
Abigail Spencer, her BFF from Suits.
Right.
So her closest, you know, her dearest and nearest.
And they've been putting out posts on Instagram with these lovely images and giving it a seal of approval.
Has Oprah had a taste yet?
We don't know. We're waiting.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, Serena popped up?
Not yet.
But somebody out there's got to have a spreadsheet, haven't they?
Yeah.
Be filling it in one by one.
Well, Oprah, let's not forget, did endorse her Clever Blends adaptogenic coffee.
And she gave that brand a huge boost, didn't she? And she hasn't yet done it for American Riviera Orchard.
Maybe it's to come. Maybe in the pipeline. Let's talk a bit about the King and Queen, because they were seen over the weekend at Balmoral. The King was driving the Queen to church, and he's been moving around a fair bit, but he's been really visible, hasn't he, all things considered?
Yeah, and that's something they've tried to do deliberately, haven't they, throughout his whole treatment, is going by this you've got to be seen but to be believed cliche. And they've been very methodical about putting out a picture at intervals to show him at work behind closed doors. And I think we were all surprised on Easter Sunday. We knew he was going to be doing this in Gay. We knew he was going to be going to church. And then he suddenly did this walkabout where he was just shaking hand after hand and talking to people. And you were watching it thinking, are you okay to do that?
Yeah.
Obviously he is. He's had sign off from his doctors that his treatment has been successful enough so far that he is now able to get out and about again within reason. The message we're hearing loud and clear behind the scenes is that between now and the summer, they really hope that we're going to be seeing him more and more in more regular engagements. There'll be some outside engagements, which is giving very COVID vibes, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
And a few more people will be in these inside engagements. It's not going to be sort of one-on-one, which it has been very carefully until now. We know we've got these huge calendar moments coming up. We've got Trooping the Colour, the 80th anniversary of D-Day,
where ordinarily
you'd expect him to travel to Normandy, wouldn't you, for the memorial. So this is the hope that he's getting back to business. His treatment hasn't finished yet, but all the signs are that it's going very well, as well as they had hoped.
Which is great news,
and
let's face it.
The music is positive.
Yeah, I mean, it's been obviously such a tough few months for the royal family, so it does feel very optimistic and like there's a sense of normality just around the corner.
Yeah, if you can think ahead to Trooping the Colour, it doesn't sound like he'll be doing anywhere near the whole thing. It's a long day, isn't it? With lots of moving elements. Maybe not on horseback. But if you picture the balcony, if he manages to make the family balcony appearance, I think that will feel like a real moment for anybody who follows the royal family.
That's a really good point. And it will have been just over a year since the big moment of the coronation and that balcony appearance. I think we'd all like to see a full complement, or as full a complement of family members as they allow these days.
God, it's going to be so different, isn't it?
Well, let's wait and see. And the Queen, I mean, we've talked about this recently. She has just been such a trooper. Quite literally this week, she was at the Royal Lancers in this fabulous military-inspired outfit. She looked like she was having a brilliant time.
She was ready to lead them into battle, I think. She looked like it.
She really did. I mean, and there's a lovely story behind her outfit for fashion fans. It was designed by one of her favourite designers, Fiona Clare, whose son is a member of the Royal Lancers.
As was her late father.
As was Camilla's late father. And so there's this very personal touch to it. And I love the idea that they had a little discussion about what she was going to wear on this, and they came up with this fabulous coat. I mean, head over to the website, please, to have a look at Camilla. Some lovely photos by our friend Chris Jackson. Looking really fantastic, all things considered. You know, she's really put in quite a shift recently. She's having to deal with a busier than usual schedule for her, but also having this concern about her husband. So I think she's done a great job, really, of...
Yeah,
from a show on the road.
From a human perspective, They're not getting any younger. They're both in their mid to late 70s now. And her husband has not been well. It's very frightening for anybody dealing with that sort of diagnosis and treatment, especially when you don't know how your body is going to react to it, as is the case for anybody undergoing cancer treatment. So she's dealing with all of that. Somebody said to me that she really is very stoic. It's not like she closes the doors and suddenly out come the hankies and she falls apart. She really is keeping the show on the road, kind of in all senses. And yet at points, she's been the only member of the senior royal family who's been out and about.
Yeah.
I think post-Easter, it will feel like she's got a little bit more backup. The Prince of Wales is getting out and about a little bit now after the school holidays. And the other senior members of the royal family feel a little bit more visible. But goodness me, won't she be glad to have the king back by her side?
Yes.
It's been very striking, actually. Normally, when they don't do a huge amount of joint engagements, do they? But when we do, she is quite conscious to follow the Prince Philip model, I think, of letting him take the spotlight and being this supporting role. So she will often kind of peel off and charm the crowds, won't she, while he gets on with the more business-like bits of it. So it's been quite a different thing for her.
Yeah.
Especially, I went with her to Belfast, and it was the first time I'd really seen her doing all of these, you know, meeting all the local dignitaries. Parts of it, she was representing the king. Parts of these engagements, she's just there as herself. And it's been very different to the way she's been working for years. And she has done. I think anybody watching it would praise her for keeping the show on the road, as you say.
We're big fans of the Queen here.
Yeah,
so
very, very big fans.
Always good to see her looking in great form.
Before we move on to discuss the rest of the royal family, we're going to check in with our colleague, Alex Hurtado, who recently, and this is so exciting, went to the Santa Barbara polo match where Prince Harry was playing and managed to have an exclusive chat with Nacho Figueras.
Harry's BFF.
Who is Harry's BFF, as it turns out. So yeah, let's see what he had to say.
Hi, this is Alex calling in from the other side of the pond in Miami, Florida. So I was recently at the Royal Salute Polo Challenge to benefit Santa Valley. The charity match was held at the Grand Champions Polo Club in Wellington, Florida, and it honestly could not have been a more gorgeous day to be outside for polo, although I will say it was very warm out. But Megan seemed to beat the heat in an ivory halter dress. Nacho Figueras, who's an ambassador for the charity, arrived at the match with his wife Delfina and their daughter Alba ahead of the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. It was very clear that the two families have a close bond. When Meghan and Harry arrived, I overheard Nacho saying that his daughter was wondering why their daughter Lily was not there. Meghan and Alba also shared a warm hug when they arrived, and when they left the press area, they sweetly strolled with their arms around each other. Of course, it was exciting to see longtime friends Nacho and Harry saddle up to play against each other that day. The Duke and the Royal Salute Santa Bali team ended up winning. When it came time for the presentation of the prizes, Meghan arrived with Delfina, Alba, and surprise, Serena Williams. She was also there. Meghan made her way to the stage to present the winning team with their trophy, and she and Harry shared a sweet celebratory kiss. But prior to the match, I was able to speak with Nacho about his friendship with Harry and the competitiveness between the two of them. He said he thinks it goes both ways. He also told me that he hopes the Duke and Duchess's children, Archie and Lily, love horses as much as Harry. Polo is a family affair for Nacho, so he said it'd be a dream for them all to one day play together.
It's always an amazing thing to get together to do two things that I love very much. One is playing polo with good friends, and then also to be able to do that supporting an amazing cause like Senti Valley. I've been an ambassador for over a decade now, and it's something that is very, very close to my heart. I first played on a charity polo match in the UK in 2007, which is when I met the Prince Harry. And since then, we cultivated a great friendship. And the charity had been founded in 2006, so it was the beginning of it all. And he told me with excitement what the whole thing was all about. And I fell in love with the project, the idea. And now, a few trips into Africa together and seeing what they do in the grounds, it's something that I'm very honored to be a part of. So it's always good to be, like I said, with him doing what we love, which is playing polo for a cause that we love.
It was also hard to miss the cameras that were rolling at the Grand Champions Polo Club. The Duke and Duchess's production company, Archwell Productions, had recently announced two new nonfiction series. one of which will give viewers unprecedented access to the world of professional polo. Nacho confirmed that he is involved. He also shared that they've been working on the project for a long time and that it was always Harry's dream and passion to share with the world what it takes to be a really competitive polo player and to show polo at the highest level. He said he couldn't think of many people better than Harry to kick off the storytelling, and he thinks when people get to know the sport and the characters around the sport, they will fall in love with it. And like the rest of us, he also can't wait to see Megan's new series, which is being curated by the Duchess and will celebrate the joys of cooking, gardening, entertaining, and friendship.
That was such a great chat.
Big well done to Alex as well for getting a, it's a really good exclusive. Harry's bestie.
Yes, he was great. He was fantastic. And also, you know, Alex was there. She saw Megan in person, Serena Williams, and she had a whale of a time.
Amazing. Well, if you want to send me to Florida at any point, I'm happy to go.
We'll put you on the list.
Thank you so much. Right, let's continue our chat with Hannah, shall we?
Yes.
Now, at the time of recording, it is a very important day for the youngest member of the Wales family. Prince Louis is turning 6 today. It's also St. George's Day.
So double celebration.
Double celebration, if Prince George does go in for celebrating his namesake. Let's talk about how different this is this year.
Oh, it's a difficult year. I wouldn't have liked to have been making the decision actually in the lead up to this because there's so many moving parts.
Yeah.
There's the tradition, I look back at it just now and there, his last 5 birthdays, 4 of them have been photos taken by his mum. One has been a professional photographer. They've all been lovely. They all elicit the same response of, oh, hasn't he grown? You look at what he's wearing or what they're doing and you get a little bit of a sense of their family life. And this has been just a lovely tradition that the Wales family has started and has spoken to their quite happy relationship really with the public, where they're pleased to give them this little window into their lives once a year. This year, everything is just different.
Mm.
So you've got the public side of things. The Princess of Wales has come in for huge criticism. There was a big palaver over her home editing of the photo that they sent out for Mother's Day. They're going to be super conscious of how much scrutiny there's going to be on this photo. And then there's the not at all small matter of she's undergoing chemotherapy. There's a lot going on for this family.
I think the interesting thing about it is that we've come to expect this. And it's not a given, is it? You know, these are young children. As a parent myself, I know why they do it. And a lot of it, as you say, it's about their relationship with the public, isn't it? And wanting to share some of their family joy with people because they understand that people want to see them. But as a parent, it must be a really weird concept to sit your kid down and say, right, I'm taking this photograph to send it out to millions of people around the world who know you and who know about you. And how do you explain that to a 6-year-old?
Yes, this has been part of this, what was originally quite an uneasy compromise, I think, isn't it, between the royal family's family life and their public lives. And I think, or at least I hope, that Prince William has come to view this as a useful relationship and that they have given this small amount of permission, really on their own terms. Either they take the photos themselves or they see the photos that any professional photographer takes before they issue them. So it's giving a little bit of insight in a very controlled way and in a way that the children, when they're younger, wouldn't even notice it. This was another photo being taken by their mums, and when they were little, they would have no idea that it's on the front page of a newspaper. Hopefully somebody saved them for them to see one day.
Yeah.
But there's no need for them to, it's not like when, you know, those awful images of Prince William and Prince Harry when they were tiny, facing these banks of hundreds of photographers. That has just never been a remotely considered part of the little Wales children's lives. And thank goodness for that. But we've become used to it. It's a new tradition that seems to have gone well and suits everybody.
And there is a fascination with Louis in particular because he's a little star, isn't he?
He's my favourite. He's so funny.
I don't know if it's because he has made the Waleses more relatable in many ways because of the sort of antics of the Platinum Jubilee pageant in particular. No, we all felt for Kate when she was having to sort of increasingly give him a hard stare at various points of that.
Can you imagine? I find it bad enough when my kids are being a little bit too noisy in Pizza Express or something. Imagine the pressure of knowing everybody's watching.
Yeah, exactly. But he is a favourite and it's going to be really interesting watching him grow up because he is not the heir. He's not even the spare. He's the spare. Is that a thing?
spare.
Yes, but I think William and Kate are going to be very conscious to not bring him up like that, aren't they? That
would 100%. Be my guess. Yeah, exactly.
is that nobody wants history repeating themselves in that sense.
Yeah. There's one thing they've surely learned.
The difficulty, I think, is, and sorry, this might be a little bit too serious. I think one of the challenges they face is not letting the children fall into these stereotypes.
Yes.
Of you don't want little Louis, who's just a little boy, barely at school, being defined as this cheeky, naughty little chap.
Yes.
For the rest of his life. You don't want that to become the box he's put in.
Yeah.
And the tone that that's set for his life as he grows up, because all being well, he will enter the working royal family at some point. He'll be supporting his father when he's the king.
Wow.
He'll be supporting his brother when he's the king.
Mm-hmm.
He will hopefully be able to carve out his own sort of satisfying section of whatever the royal family is doing. And it's quite important, isn't it, to not define somebody as they were when they were five.
Well, thank God I haven't
thank
been
God, yeah.
defined by how I was at,
literally.
At 35, quite frankly. Yeah. No, it's a really good point you make, actually, Han. And it's something that really chimes with Kate's passion for early years as well, isn't it? You know, that all children should have the best possible opportunities. And you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter if you're the son of the future king. You don't want to be pigeonholed in that way and have this role sort of created for you by the wider public who don't really know you.
Yeah, but I think, as you say, everything that the Princess of Wales does, literally almost everything she does in her working life, complements their private lives, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah.
She's almost a professional parent in that sense, if she's got all this, the cutting edge early years research is at her fingertips. So if anybody can bring up these three children in a healthy, happy way in this unbelievably unusual role they're in, it's her.
Yeah.
Now, before we wrap, I did want to ask you both, because I know you do cover a lot of engagements with the Waleses. Do you have a favourite Prince Louis moment?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, for me, probably his actual birthday, 6 years ago today, probably just because I feel like even though those appearances on the Lindo Wing steps were sort of very carefully orchestrated, they were just sort of really joyful moments. And there was a lot going on for the royal family at the time. It was very close coming up to Harry and Meghan's wedding. There was just such a sort of buzz around that, and I sort of was there for all three of them, and I just thought it was a really joyful moment. We saw George and Charlotte turn up as well to meet him, and as weird as it must be for them, it was just a lovely thing for them to share with the nation. So, yeah, I mean, he didn't do a great deal, but it was a lovely day.
It was simpler times. Simpler times.
Wow, haven't times changed since then? My goodness.
Yeah, we haven't seen a lot of Prince Louis on engagements for the obvious reasons that he's very young, and anybody that young, you don't really know what they're going to do or what they're going to say. And I've been on engagements where they've taken Prince George and Princess Charlotte and overheard Prince William say, we haven't brought Louis because anything could happen. But we have started to see more of him, haven't we? He's been to the Carol concert and a few bits and bobs here and there, the baby bank engagement. I did their first day of school as an engagement, which was very, very carefully controlled.
Oh, yeah.
It was
the
three of them and mum and dad.
Yes.
And it was this tiny, tiny press pool who we weren't quite hiding behind a tree. We were authorised and there, but it was very carefully choreographed. So it wouldn't be an issue for them to be seeing us on their first day of school. And that was a really nice thing to see. They all walked up hand in hand. They were just having quite normal chit chat. All the children seemed just very confident and very calm and polite. And they met their head teacher and the head teacher's wife. And then they went in to start this whole new era of their life. And I found that very interesting to see.
Did they clock you? Like,
they know we're there. And I'm quite sure the children would have been prepped of, here's that lady from the Telegraph and here's a photographer, and that they're not going to speak to you or anything. You just, this is the path they're walking on. So they would have been aware of us. But I think, and I hope, and I know that this is a system that the palace arranged, so they are happy with it, that it was a world away from these old scenes that we used to see. This is a very controlled, very considered, considerate method of working, where it marks the occasion in a much nicer way than just a handout photo, because you can see that little bit of movement and see these interactions specifically to mark this one milestone. And then we don't see them again for months and they get on with their childhoods.
Yeah. Amazing. I love that.
It was interesting. I was also thinking about this. Obviously, we've seen George and Charlotte on tours in the past.
Yeah.
We're a long way from that at the moment. COVID got in the way again. And obviously with Kate's health at the moment. That's not something that's on the cards anytime soon. It would be fascinating to see whether they do take all three kids on an extended official visit at some point in the future.
Yeah, there was a suggestion at one point, wasn't there? This was before COVID, that once the children were at school, they were going to stop doing these tours.
Yes.
Because you're right, they did do a lot. In hindsight, it feels like loads when they were little.
Yeah.
And they were very open with them. They were in public a lot. Mm. Did you do that engagement in Canada where they were on little Shetland ponies and these lovely little things they used to do?
And the waving to the seaplanes and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And they haven't done that with Louis at all. There was a suggestion at the time that once they started school, they were just going to stop that. Possibly because, you know, if you're at school, it's quite tiring when you're little. And when you're on your holidays, you don't want to go out working for the nation in your spare time.
That's a bit of an ask, isn't it?
It's quite a big ask, especially on these long tours.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID, you know, it could be 2 weeks, even 3 weeks if you're going to Australia, that you'd be out. I think if the pandemic hadn't happened, we probably would have seen them on a few short trips before now, wouldn't we?
Yeah,
but yeah, that feels a long way away.
Yeah. Well, Hannah, it's been an absolute delight to have you with us. We could talk to you all day.
Yes.
I regularly do.
We will.
I hope you'll come back. I hope we haven't scared you off podcasting.
No, please invite me.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
I could listen to Hannah talk for hours. She's so calm and intelligent and funny. I really, really enjoyed her as a guest. We need to get her back, Emily.
Anytime. I'd love to have her back. She's
or, you
a great
know,
girl.
One of these dinner parties that you keep saying you're going to have.
No, we never get invited.
I never said that.
Oh, maybe I made that
I
open.
Just feel like you guys have...
Maybe it was in my dreams.
No, you guys, I feel like you guys have a lot of reunions that we do not get invited to, okay?
Yeah, a lot of wine and cheese nights.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've been on a lot of trips together.
And we haven't.
None.
Not in the same way.
A lot of emotional trips.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Right, on to our next guest.
Amazing.
It's one of ours this time.
Who have we got?
Sophie Hamilton.
Oh, I love Sophie. So what's Sophie been up to?
Well, Sophie has had a very exciting month, unlike ours. She's flown all the way to Romania with a certain duchess.
This might be the Duchess of York that you're discussing.
Yes.
Sophie went to Romania with the Duchess of York to visit the Tikva Charities Children's Home. And it sounds like it was a really emotional visit. So let's welcome her onto the podcast and see what she has to say about it.
Welcome, Sophie.
Welcome.
Hello, everybody.
Now, tell us all about your visit to Bucharest with Sarah, Duchess of York, last week. We want to know it all.
You want to know it all? Well, it was amazing. What a trip. What an honour. Yeah, I was so excited when I found out I was going. And obviously, like all of us, I have grown up watching Sarah, Duchess of York, watching her work. I remember her wedding. So it was such an honour. And, you know, I met her at the airport with a couple of her staff. She had about five big cases, a couple of them just packed with presents for the children at the orphanage we were going to visit, the Tikva Jewish orphanage in Romania. It's a very sad and inspiring story because they had to leave the children's home they were living at in Ukraine, given the war situation there, and make quite a perilous, dangerous journey across the border to their new home in Romania. It was just very, very an emotional and very interesting journey.
What were the highlights? Like, what did you see? When we talked about this in the office, you said that, you know, Sarah was very emotional. She was very generous with the kids. Just tell us a bit about that.
She was. I mean, when we first arrived at the orphanage, because I didn't know what to expect. I've seen videos of orphanages before and I thought, am I just going to be in tears? What's it going to be like? But they were so welcoming. There was a huge crowd of children and adults who had grown up in the children's home. They had banners for her. They hugged her. She was hugging everyone. She's such a natural. You can tell she must be an amazing grandma because she just absolutely adores the young children and they love her. So that, you know, she spent quite a long time meeting everybody. Her memory is incredible. She visited the orphanage in 2013 and there's so many people she remembered and adults who were, you know, were children then that she was reconnecting with, which was really lovely and emotional to see. And then we did a tour. We toured all the bedrooms and everything was pristine and tidy and there's such a lovely family feel there. It was actually such a positive, warm environment. I was so pleasantly surprised. I didn't know what to expect. And she read from her
one of her children's books to the children. They were sitting on her lap and she gave them all sweets. And it was amazing. But, you know, despite all the happiness, I did keep thinking, you know, these children, they don't have parents. They've been through so much. They've got so much to deal with still. And, you know, Sarah, she realised that and she was very understanding with them all. It was, and her energy is off the charts. I mean, we were there for hours and she just kept going, kept chatting to people. I was exhausted by the end and she's still going. And I said to her, how do you do this? How do you still have the energy for this? She's just like, I love it. It's not even work to me. It's just what I live for. She said she couldn't lie on a beach for a week. She would hate that. She'd start writing a book about sand.
I totally believe that.
So, Sophie, this is amazing, but you had some really nice one-on-one time with the Duchess of York. So let's have a little listen, shall we?
And so I came here. I went to Odessa in 2013, and I see Odessa here. As you come through the gates, you feel Odessa. You feel the Ukrainian hope, the courage, the sense that one day we will get home. We will rebuild. And if not until then, this is their home. And it does feel like home. There is just everywhere you go, that sense of you are not alone. It's really the most extraordinary charitable organisation that I can be lucky enough to be able to immerse my heart into, thanks to their kind hearts. So I think we've had the most amazing day.
She's such a lovely woman, isn't she? You're nice as well, Sophie.
Thanks so much, Emmy. Yeah, she's incredible. You know, when I was asking her to sum up the experience for her, she was just so passionate about it. It meant so much to her. And she was so happy to talk to us. She was so grateful that I'd gone with her and accompanied her on the journey and was shining a light on the work they do. So that was really special, that she was just so grateful to have us there. She loves Hello. Big fan of Hello.
Ooh.
Ooh. Is this one of many trips then with Sarah, Sophie?
Yes, lots more trips with Sarah.
I can see the TV series here, Sophie.
Sophie, you'll never get a beach holiday out of it.
Yeah, no. This is a very good point.
No. We'll be writing books, I think.
For anyone that's listening, how can they help this cause?
Yes, so if anyone wants to get involved in supporting TICVA or donate, they can go to our online article, Interview with the Duchess, and on there is a link to donate and a donate now button. And I'm sure any support would be very appreciated. So thank you.
Yes, do read Sophie's article. It's really interesting. We'll also leave a link to it in the description on the podcast, wherever you're listening, so you can access it via there as well. Or, you know, get on Google.
Thank you so much for joining us, Sophie.
Thank you, Sophie.
That's okay. Thank you for having me. Thanks for the support.
Wow, that was incredible. What an incredible experience to be able to visit this orphanage with the Duchess herself.
She sounds like she had an incredible time and it was a very inspirational week. And yeah, it sounds like Sarah is non-stop.
I encourage everyone to go to our site and read the article that Sophie wrote up after their time together, because it's full of incredible words but also really moving photos. So definitely take a look, have a read,
yeah,
and
enjoy. See what they got up to. So that's everything from us today. Thank you so much to Hannah Furness and our colleagues, Alex Hurtado and Sophie Hamilton, and to you two for joining us.
We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, catch more from Hello with our news and entertainment show, The Daily Lowdown, available on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye! Bye.